NakedMoleRats.com.
And leave your naked mole rats at home.
Naked mole rat.
The naked mole rat.
Naked mole rat!
Go, go, go! Can you guys believe this show?
The following program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, this is the day the Lord hath made, and the Bible says, let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we can rejoice that no matter what problem you're going through, the Bible shows us that we will come out. And the Bible calls it, it says it came to pass, because the problem is going to pass. And we're getting closer every day to the time when our Lord and Savior Jesus takes over. I want to, first of all, thank Brother Clark Block for being here. He has successfully been married 1 month now, and he's a happy camper. And then Pastor Al Davis, and he is with us, and he does a good job. He has a radio program. I'm going to ask him to make his announcements for his program in his church.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and good to be on again today. And Pastor Al Davis and Pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And we meet right where Interstate 77, Interstate 80 cross in Northern Summit County. And we, of course, have our services at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock Bible study, 11 o'clock morning service, and then 6 o'clock in the evening we have our evening service. And then on Fridays we have an informal Bible study from 7 till 9, where people bring the questions and we look into the Word of God to find the answers. And that relates to the two radio programs that we have. We have Live with Pastor Al every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2, and then Late Night Live with Pastor Al every Friday or Sunday night from 11 o'clock until midnight right here on AM 1220 The Word. And I'd like to mention, too, that we're endeavoring to get a website together for this program where you can go and find out about Brother Bruce and listen to some of his past programs. And right now, if you went to whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us, you can find that. And that's whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. And so glad to be on the air with you, Bruce.
I am sure glad to have you, and you do a great job, and I really appreciate this. And, I was thinking about this. This program is about equal time. What I'm seeing so much, you turn on radio, so-called Christian radio and television, and there is a constant, they're turning the air blue with attacks on the Word of God, the King James Bible. And the people that are doing it, it's amazing. They give no evidence whatsoever. They'll just say, the Greek says, this is an unfortunate translation. A better reading is it should be translated like this. And no evidence is given whatsoever. And so they're constantly correcting it and attacking it. So this program, we're defending it as the Word of God. And that's what it's all about. And there's many people some of the people that are highly respected among evangelical Christians have defended it in the past. And one of them is D.L. Moody, and he sort of explains what this program is all about. He's the very famous evangelist that Moody Bible Institute was named after. And I'm going to ask Pastor Davis here to read what D.L. Moody says on this subject that we're talking about in defending the King James Bible.
All right, Bruce. D.L. Moody made this statement. He said, we have authorized religious teachers who hold and propagate these unbiblical and unchristian ideas, and moreover spend a good share of their time in tearing the Bible to shreds and in attempting to prove its untrustworthiness. Is it all remarkable that busy, hard-worked, earnest men should turn away from the sanctuary and restrain prayer and cast off the fear of God and year by year drift heathenward?
Okay, thank you very much for that. And so D.L. Moody was criticizing them. I don't think you've read the rest of that. Is there more
well,
to that, I think?
There may be a little bit more further on here. I'm not seeing it. He's just, there's some commentary here about what he had to say. But that was lifted from the life of D.L. Moody by his son on page 495.
Yeah, and, I think that's what I was talking about. We only got part of it there.
Yeah, that's all that's quoted in that passage there.
Did you find any more there?
No,
okay.
I'll look through, but if I see anything more,
we'll get together on that. I think it was this morning I turned on television, and this particular preacher was using the King James, but he's correcting it. And it's amazing, these Bible correctors on radio and television, they just say, the Greek says, they don't give you any evidence for their correction. We're supposed to drop our King James Bibles and listen to what they say. And one of the things that we have read what Spurgeon says, and he calls these Bible correctors popelings because he was against it. And we have read what he said a number of times on past programs. And so you're supposed to drop your Bible, put down your Bible, and believe what they say. And this is going on. It seems like it's just increasing. And yet some of the same people will complain and say, well, people's faith in the Bible is going down. And yet when they listen to so many evangelical programs on radio and television, they have to correct it. And no wonder. I mean, the people turn it on and they constantly hear the Word of God corrected. And so that's what our program is. We uphold the King James Bible. We defend it. And one of the things that one of the scripture verses that I'd like Brother Davis to read is found in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. Would you read that?
Oh, certainly. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8, the Bible says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever."
Okay. Here it is at the bottom of the page there.
Oh, okay. They didn't put the quotes in there.
Yeah, I see. Okay.
He interspersed this in with the
okay,
text.
We're back to D.L. Moody again.
Back to D.L. Moody here again.
We're moving
and
on
let
here.
Let me find out. I guess he's alluding to a story that D.L. Moody made. I think that's what threw us here. And he gave the story of a man who, following his minister's sermons very carefully and cutting out of the Bible, whatever the minister said was not authentic. And one day this man carried to his pastor a badly mutilated Bible from which numerous leaves and parts of leaves had been cut, saying, "Here, pastor, is your Bible." "My Bible," said the clergyman impatiently. "Yes," replied the man, "I've cut out all that you say is false and allegory and folklore and also the mythical and so-called unauthentic parts, and here's what's left." "Give it to me," said the preacher. "No, you don't," the man replied. You haven't touched the covers yet, and I'm going to cling to them at least." And then, of course, the author says, I believe, said Mr. Moody, "that there are a good many scholars these days as there were when Paul lived, who professing themselves to be wise have become fools. I've said that ministers of the gospel are cutting up the Bible in this way and doing great injury to the church. They are emptying the churches and driving young men of this generation into infidelity."
Okay, so there you have D.L. Moody talking about this, and he said about these people that are correcting the Bible and so on, and he says they're driving them into infidelity. And yet I hear in some of these programs they're telling how faith in the Bible is going down, and they're complaining about this and saying how bad it is, but yet on the same program they will correct the Bible. And this is the Bible still that the majority of people in America have. And it's still the main Bible that is being used, and they're correcting it all constantly. And I believe that they don't even know what they're talking about. You know, it reminds me of the Jehovah's Witnesses. When I was younger, they used to come to the door, and they would correct the King James Bible, and they would say, "The Greek says." And, of course, I was reading some Jehovah's Witness literature, and in there, they were using the Vatican Bible to correct the King James with. And it was right in their literature. I talked to Jehovah's Witness recently and told him that, and he was quite upset about it, but it was still there in the literature, and I had read it in the literature. Well, the Vatican Bible, and there's two of them that was put out by Constantine, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. These two disagree with each other in the Gospels, 3,000 words, and they're the basis for the modern versions. of the Bible, and they were put out by Constantine. So Constantine, at that time, he was head of the Roman Empire, and he had called the Council of Nicaea, and they decided, rightfully so, based on the Bible, that Jesus Christ was God there at the Council of Nicaea. Now, the controversy started when Gnostics entered into the Christian church because of the promotion of Constantine. The Gnostics believed that Jesus was a lesser god like all other heathens. They believed in demigods. They weren't truly God. They weren't truly man. They were somewhat of a lesser god. And so the Arian heresy, backed up by Origen, who put out the corrupt Bibles, and the Gnostics, the heathens that had come in to Christianity. And the Gnostics claimed to be Christian, though. They looked at Jesus as a created God or a lesser God, like the Jehovah's Witnesses do today. And so they had the Council of Nicaea, and they said that at Council of Nicaea that Jesus Christ was God. Now, one of the leading Arians, and that's what they called the people that denied Jesus' deity, was Eusebius of Nicomedia. He was the pastor of the church in where Constantine lived. Constantine lived outside of Constantinople in a place called Nicomedia. And so Constantine banished Eusebius of Caesarea, but later on, Constantine's sister, talking to him, apparently began to believe in Arian doctrine. And so Constantine once again brought Eusebius of Nicomedia back, and he became Constantine's pastor, and later on baptized Constantine, and he baptized him to take away his sins. He believed in power in the tub that the city water supply takes away your sins, whereas the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, taketh away our sins. But anyway, so Constantine, but he was worshipped at that time. He was a high priest of the pagan religion of Rome at that time, and yet professing to be Christian. So he was worshipped as the incarnation of the sun god, which would be Baal. And so he was the one that put out these corrupt Bibles that disagree with each other, and they call it, if you study textual history, they call it the eclectic text. That means the manuscripts of these texts coming, put out by Constantine, and basically coming from Origen, from Alexandria, Egypt. They're very corrupt, and they disagree with each other. Now, and of course, if you believe you believe in the sun god, if you're a follower of the sun god Constantine, you would probably believe that these modern versions are pretty good, but they come from the ecumenical Bibles that Constantine, the incarnation of the sun god, according to the heathens, put out. He put these out, and today the modern versions are based on that. And you say, that really sounds wild. Well, if you study textual history, you will know that this is the truth. I mean, it's very obvious that Westcott and Hort and Nestle's Greek text and so on use these corrupt Bibles that Constantine put out. And and you know what they're called? They're called the oldest and best. Now, of course, it's interesting who might call them the oldest and best. I'm sure that the devil would agree that they're the oldest and best according to him, because what they do is they attack the deity of Jesus Christ, teach all kinds of false doctrine, indicate salvation by works. And these modern versions are based on this. And if you study textual history, you could see that Nestle's Greek text, basically, which is used all over in many Bible schools, is based on the theories of Westcott and Hort. Now, here's another interesting fact. I remember when I was studying Greek in college, they used Nestle's 23rd edition, which is the basis of the New SV, or New American Standard Version. And all the time that I was studying Greek there, a couple of years, nobody ever told us where that Greek text came from. Wouldn't you find that rather amazing?
Well, I would think that would be slightly important to know where the book that you're studying came from.
Yeah, and I have mentioned this before on the radio, but I talked to a preacher who's a graduate of Bob Jones University. And he says, well, I believe in the original Greek, you know, because I told him I believe in King James. And I didn't tell him, I didn't say anything, but then he heard that I believe in it. And so he says, well, I believe in the Greek text, you know. I said, well, what Greek text are you talking about? He had studied Greek there for 4 years. And that was the end of the conversation. He didn't even know what Greek text he was using. And there's dozens of Greek texts out there. And yet you see on radio and television all the time, they say, the Greek says. It's, I mean, to me, they're either lying or they're very ignorant, you know, because there's all, if they were honest about it, they would say such and such a Greek text says. And then not only that, they would tell you the lexicon using, because not only, I think Chaffetz showed about 666 Greek texts that were out there. And not only that, then they'd tell you what lexicon they were using. That is a Greek English dictionary, a Hebrew English dictionary that they were using for that. But they dogmatically say the Greek text as if there was one. And I remember when I first got into this, that is what I thought. You know, I thought it all. The thing is, these versions come from different Greek texts. Now, there is a true text that has come down to us, and it is called the Koine Greek text. It has many different names. It has also called the Antiochian text, or it is called the Constantinopolitan text, or it is called the Textus Receptus, or the received text. Now, one of the things that's important, and one of our friends, Brother Gus, we go after the program there, and he makes us a big pizza. He has a pizza shop over there on, I think it's Garfield Road.
East Coast Pizza, right across from the Garfield High School, Garfield Heights High School on Turney Road.
Yes, and he's a good Christian
Garfield Heights
brother, you know, and so we always have a great time going over there afterwards, and he makes us one of the best pizzas you'll ever have, you know. And
Absolutely.
Anyway. He said, well, he'd like to know somewhere about where some of these came from. And I've been talking about that, but I haven't mentioned it for a while. The apostles wrote the New Testament. And so the New Testament was copied, and it was not only copied, but it was translated very early. One of the translations, for instance, and I'm going to give some of the mention today, some of the different very early translations that back up the King James. Now, the corrupt ones come from just one place, and that is Alexandria, Egypt. They are the text that is behind the modern versions. And true text translated, for instance, one of the translations called the Gothic. Now, if you study the English language, you know that it originated with the Goths. It was first the Gothic. And so there is a text put out by Euphilus, in about 335, and he translated the Bible at that time. And many words in the King James are the same words that he translated at that time, a lot of the words. They may have changed their form a little bit to the English today, which is more modern, but many of the words were from that. Also later on, Tyndale put out a translation based on the Koine Greek text, and 90% of the words in the King James comes from Tyndale, who was martyred and burned at the stake for putting out that translation. Now, another translation that was put out was the Syriac Peshitta, was the Aramaic, and that was used in the Middle East very early. That had come out by 350. And that text was taken by the Nestorians and preached all over the Middle East, and that text went all the way into China and was being used in China in churches all over China by 700. And it has been translated into the English, the Syriac Peshitta. And once again, it bears witness to the King James text. Another text would be, the Italic text. And the Italic text was used in Italy, and it was translated probably very early as possibly 250. And the Italic text was used by the Bible-believing Baptist group called the Waldensians. And we know what they taught, because we have a book that comes back before 1000 called The Noble Lesson, and it tells their beliefs. And they were a Bible-believing group that was preaching the gospel all over Europe and actually made translations of the Word of God. And there's hundreds of these Bibles in museums in Europe that back up the readings of the King James, even though they're in other languages. And so you have the Italic text, you have the Koine Greek text, and there is another group of Bible-believing Christians that were in Armenia. And they we're using the common Koine Greek text, and Greek professors will tell you in the Greek, when you're studying Greek, that it was based on the Koine Greek. The modern ones are not based on Koine Greek. They're based on classical Greek, because Origen wanted to make the Bible, made a revision, wanted to make it acceptable to the philosophers. And, you know, God has something to say about that, because he says the Word of God is not based on the wisdom of men. He says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. And God talks about pagan philosophy, and he says, we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. That's man's philosophy. The modern ones are based on words of man's philosophy, but words which the Holy Ghost teacheth. And so the Holy Ghost put out the Koine Greek text. In the modern, the King James is based on the Koine Greek, but the modern ones are based on words that the man's wisdom teaches. That's why Westcott and Hort, and they're teaching this in fundamental schools, some of this, they're teaching this, and it's so false. They have these sentences or statements telling you how to find what the original said. If you read some of these books on textual history or biblical authority, and these are stated, these statements are given so that you will go back and get the Vatican Bible put out by Constantine. For instance, they'll say the most difficult reading is the best. This is statements how to find the originals, see? But all it does is lead you to Constantine's Bible. So they say the most difficult is the best. They will say simplest reading, the simplest reading would be the best, or where the most words are taken out. You know, they would. That's one of the things they would say. The most neutral is the best. Well, God's not neutral about Jesus Christ. They would say that. They have other of these statements that lead you. And textual criticism is a farce, because it all leads you, and it was set up to lead a person following it to Constantine's Bible. In other words, if you're a follower of the sun god, you would be happy with it. And it's called the oldest and best, and I'm sure the devil would agree with that, as we said. But if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you would not agree with that. And so it says in the Bible, Isaiah 40, verse 8, the word of our God would stand. Now, all through the ages, then God has kept his word. The italic text, the Koine Greek text, which was kept through a group called the Paulicians. And there was literally millions of these Bible-believing Christians. And we know what they believe, because they put out a book called The Key of Truth, and it was probably put out about, the 3rd or 4th century, telling what they believed. And they were in Eastern Turkey. They were in Armenia. And then there's the Arminian translation. And once again, that translation backs up the King James Bible. And when the King James translators put out the King James translation, they were some of the best scholars when it came to the Bible that has ever come together as a committee, 49 of them. And what they took is they had these ancient Bibles in front of them on the desk, and they put out the translation based on what has come down to us from the apostles. Hundreds of these ancient Bibles that lined itself up, the italic text, the Koine Greek text, the Syriac Peshitta text, the Arminian text, all of these that backed up the King James. But the modern versions are based on the text of Westcott and Hort, and they come from Alexandria, Egypt. You know, right now I've got a senior moment. What were they called? What was that called, that group?
You mean the eclectic text?
Yeah, it's called the eclectic. It has another name for it. And I just
You got the eclectic text or the Alexandrian text.
The Alexandrian text, yes.
Correct. Yeah, from Alexandria, Egypt.
Yeah, that's less than 1% of the evidence. And all these hundreds of changes in the Bibles that have been made come on less than 1% of the evidence. But the text that has come down to us from Christ and the apostles, it's found in all of these translations. So if one of these translations was off a little bit, you could compare all the other translations. But in evangelical fundamental schools, they're promoting this less than 1%, and they're teaching stuff. And who started this thing? Well, one of the people that promote text of criticism is the Jesuits, and a man named Simon at the time of the Protestant Reformation started to promote what he called textual criticism. And the whole thing is a farce. And all it is set up to lead it back to the Pope's Vatican Bible. And, you know, there's people that are teaching this. One famous writer who is, he writes on apologetics. He's good on apologetics, but he was trained by the Jesuits. And he has, his books are being used in fundamental schools. And he's promoting textual criticism that leads to this Constantine's Bible, the Bible put out by the sun god. So all you sun god worshipers out there, if you get an NIV, you ought to be happy with it, or you get a new ASV, or even an English Standard Version. That's the latest one. We're going to talk about the English Standard Version when we get back from our break. Okay.
Are kids in public schools allowed to talk to others about Christ during their lunch break? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My daughter was having a conversation about the Lord in the lunchroom cafeteria, and the lunchroom cafeteria worker came over and told her that she wasn't allowed to talk about that in school. Is she not allowed to witness in school?
She can absolutely have that discussion, and let me get you in touch immediately with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice. We've had a series of cases starting in 1990 at the U.S. Supreme Court, and the most recent case 2003. I argued the case in 1990. I argued the case in 2003. And in both cases, we won, and not only on behalf of students, but we won with a significant victory in the Bible Club case, which also allows for student expression on public school campuses.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. To become more involved in protecting these freedoms, visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
There's an old Swedish motto that says, shared joy is a double joy. Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Let me finish it. Shared joy is a double joy. Shared sorrow is half a sorrow. You see, without others, life slows to a grind rather rapidly. The secret of survival is not simply enjoying life's joys and enduring its sorrows. It's in sharing both with others. We gain perspective by having somebody right there by our side. We gain courage in threatening situations, life's ups and downs. It's good to have someone to share them with.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
Okay, we're back, and Brother Al Davis, pastor of Baptist Church here in Richfield, is helping me out, and he's doing a great job. And so we're giving equal time, and it's not going to be equal because on radio and television, constantly these people are correcting the true Word of God, which is the King James Bible, and so we're not going to have the same time that all of them do, but we're upholding it now. One of the things I realized just recently, and we were answering some letter that somebody had put out with different questions, and I realized now maybe they got it from the internet, but many of these Christian bookstores, they put out the new counterfeit of the year, counterfeit Bible that they put out every other year. And so they would not carry a lot of outstanding evangelical leaders that have written books on this. I'm not the only one, by the way. There's many outstanding writers and people that have written on this. For instance, when I was at Moody, I had a teacher called Dr. Alfred Martin, and he's written Defending the King James Bible, and he was executive vice president of Moody Bible Institute at that time. Now, I wish they would have listened to him because they don't line up with D.L. Moody today on the Word of God because they're using the corrupt text. But anyway, he talked about, but you won't find his books in the Christian bookstores. They won't carry these people's books. I want to show you some books that they censored that they won't carry. Here is Dr. Sam Gipp, for instance, and he was a professor at Massillon Baptist College. By the way, it's an excellent college. I taught there, and Sam Gipp is outstanding, writes in a very simple, very interesting way, but you won't find his book in the Christian bookstores. Here's another one, Dr. Otis Fuller. And he gives the history of the true text that he was a pastor of a church. He was the first writer for the General Association of Regular Baptists. He wrote their paper. And a graduate of Princeton University. And he wrote a tremendous book and gives the history there of the true text behind the King James. You will not find Dr. Otis Fuller's books in these bookstores. Here's another individual, and I'm just mentioning a few. Dr. Edward Hills. And I have read these books by these individuals, and they're outstanding books. Dr. Edward Hills, he is a graduate of Princeton with a doctor's degree, wrote an excellent book and on defending the King James. You will not find his books in the Christian bookstore. Here's another individual, got a doctorate from Bob Jones University, Peter Ruckman. He's an expert in Greek and Hebrew and also a historian. And his books have been widely circulated. You will not find his books. Another individual is a man named Dr. Bergon, who was an Episcopalian. And Bergon did a massive amount of research on the text. And he shows that 99% of the ancient manuscripts, and you can get his, they have his stuff stored in London, England, and they have thousands of his works. They did a massive work on this subject. And Bergen, but his works are for sale. You won't find his works. Here's another individual, Dr. Waite. And he has degrees from a number of universities. He's written a number of books on defending the King James. You will not find his works in Christian bookstores. Now, there might be one here and there, but most of them have been censored. Here is another one, Dr. Gail Riplinger. And she has sold 500,000 books on defending the authorized King James Bible, and her books are fantastic. And mostly, they have just been passed on from one person to another because they're done so well. She represented, of everybody in the United States, she was picked to represent the United States in scholarship in England. And she's a godly Christian lady. She goes on visitation and gives out tracts. I saw her giving them out one day, when she was shopping. And she has written tremendous books that are, she knows the subject. She has, they're based on the Bible. I mean, they give biblical reasons. And so all of these books, where are they? You will never find them. Why? Because they're putting out these corrupt Bibles, and all of these people defend the King James, and they show where the modern ones are corrupt. And what's the problem here? Well, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And that's very simple. A root is not what starts the plant. A root is what nourishes a plant. So the love of money nourishes all evil. And so these corrupt Bibles, they're not put out by the churches. And the NIV probably, they're now dumping that. And the latest one is the English Standard Version. And we have a book. I have a book here. And many of these books are very detailed. They're interesting. They're simple to understand. But they're massive amount of research. In one, a recent book has come out. What's the name of that, Brother Davis?
This is a book by Dr. Douglas Stauffer, and it's One Book, One Authority, subtitled 2,000 Years of Church and Bible History, over 800 pages, just a short one.
Yeah, well, I'm a good part of the way through that book right now. But one of the things that that book talks about is the English Standard Version, which is the latest counterfeit has come out. And, the Bible says the word of our God shall stand. You see, down through the ages, the true text has stood. And, I mean, it stands. The Bible talks about the flower, the flower fades and the grass withers, but the word of our God shall stand. Now, the King James Bible is based on all of these texts that I have talked about, the italic text, the Koine Greek text, the Antiochian text, That's a hard word to say.
Constantinople.
Yeah,
text. I'm going to mess it up too.
Yeah. Anyway, it stands on the Arminian translation, the Gothic translation, all that. All of these back up the King James, and so they put the translation out, and it came out in 1611, and it's still going strong. It's still, I think that the NIV has sold about 200,000, but the King James has printed. There's 5 billion King James translations. And since it came out, 100 translations have come out. And, of course, they have the promotion of millions of dollars worth of promotion to deceive people. But the King James Bible has just got on. It says, the word of our God shall stand, and every new generation comes out, whether one group drops it, some other group that is preaching the gospel picks it up, and it just keeps on going generation after generation. And the reason is, it's God's word. It stands. The other ones wither, and they disappear. I can remember even from 50 years ago, translations are being promoted back then and disappeared. And all you read about them is in the history book, but God's word stands. Now, I want you to, Brother Davis, he's going to read some of the chapter headings in this book that is put out by Brother Stauffer. And the reason we do not get paid for putting these books out. Now, the advertising for the other side is millions of dollars of advertising. I have this program, and I want Christians to be able to get these outstanding authors that have written these books. And these people are highly educated in most cases. They are basing it on what the Bible says about itself, and God's word said it'll stand. That's a reason for believing the King James, because the other ones come and go, and there's hundreds of them that come and go. God never backed them, but God continues to back the authorized King James. It stands, and it is being attacked on radio and television all the time. It is being attacked in many Bible schools. And by the way, if you are a pastor of a church, before you send your student from your church to a Bible school, you ought to call up that president and say, do you allow professors to correct the King James Bible? And what books are you using to defend the King James? Because there's a tremendous amount of good ones. And by the way, Chick Publications puts out a very simple book to understand. It's called Let's Weigh the Evidence. And another book is Which Version is God's Word by Floyd Nolan Jones. You could look at these in the internet. And that's an outstanding book to give to pastors. You could buy one, read it yourself, and give it to a preacher or missionary because it's easy to understand. It's right to the point. He's an educator with a number of degrees also. You will not hear about these things in most places, but they're there, and that's why I have the program. I want you to be able to get these and read these books. Okay, Brother Davis is going to read some of the chapter headings of this book. Would you name the book again?
All right, this is One Book, One Authority by Dr. Douglas Stauffer, and you can actually find this book available online because, like you said, the bookstores generally don't carry it. You can go to BibleDug.com, that's BibleDug.com, and you can also call Dr. Stauffer directly to order the book at 334-221-1611. That's a United States number, 234-221-1611. If you remember that part there from a 1611 KJV Bible. He has a variety of headings here. He starts out with an introduction called The Last Day's Spiritual Battleground, where he makes a case for the battle over God's Word. And it goes through a number of things. Let me just skim through some of them. Man's sole authority, the gender neutralizing agenda, the New International Version 2011. He also has Word of God versus Word of Men, vain worship, the four-step process. There's the English Standard Version's Calvinistic agenda. The English Standard Version, corrupt seed results in corrupt fruit. And the English Standard Version's substitute savior. And along the line with the English Standard Version as well, salvation, the English Standard Version's damnable heresy, and salvation, the English Standard Version's corrupting influence. He's also got our...
Let me interrupt just a second. Now, in this book, what is it, 800 pages?
800 and some pages, yes.
He shows the scripture verses. He quotes them as they're found in this English Standard Version. And he quotes theirs, and then he compares with the King James.
Right.
And so you could check this out for yourself. And he has dozens and dozens of scripture verses that you could check with one of those Bibles right there. That is very important. And Brother Davis now continue on. He's going to read the chapter headings.
Actually, there's over 880 pages, so it's nearly 900-page
okay.
book. Something that helped people out, the abridged King James Bible Dictionary. He also has a chapter on antiquated language of modern versions. That's a good one. And then there's The Tale of Three Cities, where the Bible versions began. Then he's got a series of books here, or chapters here, 19th century English versions, 20th century English versions, 21st century English versions, and then a series of chapters, Insight into Inspiration, Inspiration Without Preservation Pointless. Then he's got a couple of chapters, Translators Biographies, Part 1 and Part 2, a interesting series of chapters, The Written Word and the Word of God. That's five chapters in a row, Part 1 through Part 5. Then another good chapter, The Lineage of Blessing versus The Root of Apostasy. And then there's the Bible Simplified Family Tree. And here's Satan's Line of Manuscripts. Then the Roadmap to Rome, the first 20 steps. And then the second chapter, The Roadmap to Rome, the Final Journey, step 21 through 45. And then a series of the history of the Bible, Chronological History Introduction. Then the 1st through the 6th century, the 7th through the 12th century, the 13th through the 17th century, the 18th through the 21st century. And then he's got a couple things toward the end, chapters dealing with the Genesis story found in the ancient Chinese language, in the Chinese characters, three chapters on that, and then 11 appendices, 14 rules for the translators, who is Robert Murdoch, National Geographic Journalism, Time to Retire, the King James question, 1602 Spanish Bibles, 1534 Luther's German Bible, a grammar lesson on pronouns, a scripture index, modern version scripture index, a word index, and a bibliography so you can check it all out and see what he was writing about.
Yeah, you see, all across the evangelical spectrum, there is outstanding people with all kinds of degrees, if you want that, you know, that have written these books, and yet most Christians are not aware of these. And the problem is so many of the Bible institutes, they get professors from seminaries. You realize that the first person that set up a seminary was a guy named Origen. Now, one of the ways to deal with this problem is churches can set up local Bible institutes. A pastor of a church has some other pastor friends, and they could simply teach. They could start a Bible institute maybe a couple nights a week in a local church and with on-the-job training. The Lord never set up a seminary. He trained the people himself. That's one of the pastor's jobs. And it's the seminaries that was set up. Origen set up a seminary, he corrupted the Bible and taught heathen philosophy. Most seminaries today teach a lot of philosophy, and God calls it Greek foolishness. He's against it, you know, and they still spend a lot of time teaching. For instance, psychology is a philosophy, but they're still teaching a lot of go into detail on philosophy, which God calls Greek foolishness and warns against it, see? And some of the pagan ideas that came into Christianity, like for instance, purgatory, came in through Plato. Early, much of Catholicism has been influenced by Platonic philosophy. Origen was the one that corrupted the Bibles, and Constantine used his corrupt versions. And so a pastor can set up a local church Bible Institute, and we have these all over the place. And churches have them, and young men could go there, stay in their own local church, and go to a local church Bible Institute. I mentioned earlier Massillon Baptist College and Heritage Baptist Institute and a number of others in the Cleveland area and different parts of the world. And so you could keep the people in your own church, and it's part of the pastor's duties and ministry is to teach workers so that they can work for the Lord Jesus Christ. But the seminaries, they follow their founder, which was Origen, and so they found and they teach the corrupt text. And then sometimes these people that follow the corrupt text from the seminaries teach in Bible institutes. And so, for instance, Dallas Theological Seminary, they follow Metzger. Metzger doesn't even believe that the originals were perfect. And he's teaching at Dallas. And so he recommends the corrupt versions and recommends corrupt writers and so on. And Dallas is sending professors into Bible institutes around the country. And it'll produce more corrupt Bibles. And sometimes preachers have been taught in some seminary or college the corrupt thing. And even though these books are out there, they refuse to read them. I call them the ostrich club because the books are available on the internet. And yet I've heard where a preacher says, well, no, don't give me one of those books. You know, don't confuse me with the facts. My mind is already made up. And they're following these corrupt Bibles. And these Bibles do not agree with the authorized King James Bible in thousands of places. And so anyway, could you give once again the name of that book and then the address we just mentioned?
Absolutely. It's One Book, One Authority. And you can order that. Either you can go online to BibleDug.com. That's BibleDug.com. And you can find it there, as well as some of Dr. Stauffer's other publications on the King James Bible. And you can contact them by telephone, 334-221-1611. That's area code 334-221-1611. And you can also write to BibleDug.com, 6612 Hickory Way Lane, Knoxville, Tennessee, and the zip code is 37918. That's a 37918.
You know, another good scripture verse on this subject, it says 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Now, there is corrupt seed out there. You know, the Lord said that someone, the sower sowed the seed, and then someone he sowed tares, you know, and but if incorruptible, now God's word, it's like every person, they inherit a DNA and they have a DNA. Well, God's word is an incorruptible seed. In other words, it has come down to us in these, through these different translations that we have mentioned, and it is found in the authorized King James Bible based on these ancient translations. And the Bible says, Psalms 12, 6, and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, it says the incorruptible seed is the word of God. Now, in reality, when they go back to the Greek, most of those people that write these modern versions, they don't believe that we really have the word of God, which is the incorruptible seed. They don't believe we have it today. And so they're going back to some corrupt Greek text or some corrupt dictionary, a lexicon, which they're saying and using to correct the true word of God, the authorized King James Bible with. And so the Bible says we're born again, not of corrupt, but incorruptible seed. God's word liveth and abideth forever. See, now it says by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Something that is alive can reproduce. Sarah's womb was dead, but God could make it alive again, and she could have a child in her old age. And so it's called the Word of God. It lives. It's alive. It can reproduce itself. And all kinds of people down through the ages have tried to stamp out the true text, the received text, Textus Receptus, or found in the authorized King James Bible. But it's called incorruptible seed. It will not corrupt. And it says it will stand. That word, that verse alone should tell us where the Word of God is. The ASV was put out with a lot of advertising, American Standard Version, then the Revised Standard Version, then the New International Version, and scads of versions with big advertising of millions of dollars, and they stood for a little while, and then they faded. They disappear. But the King James generation after generation goes on. Why? It's incorruptible seed, and it stands because it's the Word of God. And the words of the Lord are pure words. So these Bible correctors on radio and television, they may say they're working for God, but in reality, you know, they're doing the devil's work by correcting it. And they're causing a doubt in the true Word of God. That's what they're doing. And the Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And the changes in these modern versions are thousands of changes. And they're creating chaos and confusion. When you read your King James Bible, you can base your life on it. It is the absolute truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Now, it says, the word of God liveth and abideth forever. That is, we'll always have it. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Today, English is the universal language. And so today, all over the world, they have the authorized King James Bible copied, 5 billion copies of it, going all over the world. And churches are putting it out by the thousands every year, and it is still going out and still preached. So when you read your King James Bible, we have a God that he didn't lose power. He didn't grow old. He didn't grow weak. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. They'll go on forever. And when you read the word of God, it says, in thy word do I trust, not in a local popling, some Bible teacher on radio and television, but we're to trust in God's word. And we have it today. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Well, thank God we can read that book, and that'll change our life, and it'll give us blessing, it'll give us hope, and it'll give us, through his word, it'll give us salvation. Jesus said in one place, he said that if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. Jesus abides in us through his words, and we have it today in our authorized King James Bible. God bless you. You have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of a